far, far, far better. Run, 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 run.
That is my theme song and my wedding song.
It's a delightful wedding song to have.
Mine's Down with the Sickness by Richard Cheese, so let's just do that.
Hello, everyone. I am Frank Bennington, a.k.a. Bad Touch Bad Boy, and today I will be co-hosting this episode with this woman over here.
Is she?
I am a woman. Oh. This is Anastasia, a.k.a. Psycho Fembot. I'm here co-hosting with Bad Touch Bad Boy. Against my better judgment.
You bitch.
This spells disaster.
And we have fabulous guests today. Fabulous.
Fabulous.
We have Mondo Franco.
Woo!
Hola.
And we have Sean Owens.
Yay! Hey-o.
And we will be talking about horror movies in honor of the fabulous month of October. And my favorite season ever, Halloween.
Oh, wait, now they're playing my wedding song.
You're a freak.
Actually love music for me.
I feel like our weddings are going to be awkward.
You're awesome. Anyway, today we will be talking about Halloween, touching on Nightmare on Elm Street. That's really dirty, but it's okay.
I will touch not Nightmare on Elm Street.
And maybe even head into Scream territory.
Ooh.
That's not a scream.
Ah!
That's better.
That was actually right back.
All right, so before we start, why don't you guests? Yeah, you.
You guests.
Me. You guests.
Oh, you guests. Guests.
You guys.
You guests.
Really?
Yeah.
You can go first.
How
one.
Dare you, sir.
Introduce yourselves. Say a little bit about yourself.
Go for it, man. No.
I'm Sean Owens, and I'm an actor, and these guys know that I'm a movie freak like them. Mm-hmm. And pop culture freak like them. So here I am. I'm my first time on the show.
Yeah.
First time, first listener. I've always wanted to call in. You guys are great.
He's a podcast virgin. Well, for our show.
For our show.
I am Mondo Franco, writer, director, owner of Evil Panda Films. And I am obsessed with films. There are movie buffs, but I am a movie bodybuilder.
It is all the heavy lifting.
I like that.
And I am a registered cinephile.
Ooh. There you go.
There you go.
You have to tell everyone in your neighborhood.
I know. I have to tell. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm a cinephile.
We'll just put his address at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I'm like, keep your DVDs safe and away from me.
Very nice. And, all right. So without getting too sidetracked, let's start. But first, I must mention that our other co-hosts, Cisco and Rachel.
Yeah. Yes, we enjoy it here as usual. I mean,
we don't ever go.
I mean, we're ever present.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that I haunt this place.
I was starting to wonder who they were. I'm
omnipresent all the time.
Yes, this is Francisco Calderon, a.k.a. Cuddles the Sociopath.
And this is Sassy Pants Rachel Frumkin.
Is she wearing pants today?
Yeah, but they're not sassy. Oh, okay. They are very plain.
Then get out.
To put something out there today, I'm not nearly as vocal as our past episodes because I'm not. This is not the greatest subject for me.
This will be the silent version of Francisco and Rachel episode because we don't know these movies.
Yes, well,
I have watched.
Oh, good, I got here on the right episode.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yes. They've been quiet this entire time. I was like, is the help on the show today?
I'm very strange. I don't watch these movies, but I like to watch documentaries about the movies.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, so I know stuff, and I know, like, the makings and the goings on behind, but I've never seen a Halloween movie, and I've never seen a Nightmare on Elm Street
movie. So you read one verse from the Bible and claim to know the entire religion?
Right.
I did not claim to know this subject.
Don't the documentaries make you at all want to see the movie?
I figure, like, I know what happens. Like, I know what happens at the end of Psycho, so I've never seen Psycho.
So, you know, all the suspense buildup is gone. That's not true. No, it's about the craft of the sequence.
I'm done, guys. Thanks for having me.
Guys,
this is really cool.
Those views are not represented by the whole entire show.
No, that's why it's their. That's why it's their show.
That's why they're quiet today.
It takes guts to admit that in this crowd.
Yeah. In my case, I've never been that interested in horror movies in general. I'm not a big fan of gratuitous violence.
You're watching the wrong ones.
Yes, admittedly, there are some really good psychological ones that I really
we're about to talk about them today.
And I love those ones.
And that's the thing, like, I like thrillers and, like, sci-fi stuff, but, like, gore and, like, slasher films are not my thing of, like, I've seen, Stacey doesn't get this because I've seen all the Final Destination movies.
Yeah.
I've seen all the Scream films.
That's like kill porn, the Final Destination movies.
I've seen those kinds of stuff, but, like, the Scream movies for me are, like, comedy horror. They're not, like, they don't freak me out, and I psych myself out so much that I get scared over stuff.
I was given homework by Frank to watch the Halloween movies, which I guess I get a C. I watched two of them.
Out of which one?
I watched the first two. And additionally, like, he sat me down and made me watch the Scream movies, so I'm familiar with those ones. Those ones aren't entertaining enough.
Wow.
I think the genre is amazing.
Oh, yes, you did. The bison quote.
We have to figure out how to do that other sound.
I still want the Goro.
Everyone wants Goro. Everyone wants Goro.
I like the whole genre. Hands. Yeah.
Well, what is your... Okay, so what makes... I always ask myself this. What is it that I don't really care about horror? But let me turn it around. What is it that makes you get into it? I don't understand, like, wanting to get constantly scared or constantly, like, have something dramatic or in your face blood splurt. Like, I don't get that.
I mean, I think it's good for women to watch them because you get survival skills.
That is true.
You become more practical about things. I know a lot of my friends are not practical. Some of it is. Some of it is. You watch an idiot on a horror movie act like you shouldn't act in a situation, and you never ever want to do that again. Like, you never want to be like that girl.
Well, pick your movies wisely if you're gonna go that case, because you go the original Last House on the Left, like, I know how to seduce a guy and bite his dick off.
No,
that's a useful skill, though.
And I don't like any women having that skill. So
every woman has that skill, Sean.
Yeah, that's why
every woman has.
I wanted to forget about that, please.
But and I grew up with him. Like, my mom, you know, we watched unconventional things on different holidays. I grew up with them. I just love watching them. It's a rush for me. Although I do not like going to horror haunted, like, events.
No,
and
those
stuff.
Are horrible.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Those are terrible.
I mean, you've been with me on the haunted hayride.
Yeah.
And I was okay.
And you don't enjoy it.
I don't enjoy it because I feel like I'm going to be attacked. And when I feel like I'm going to be attacked, I don't. I'm not like meek. I want to kill people when they are pretending to kill me.
Right.
So I don't like it.
It's like the loss of control. Is that what freaks
like
you out?
Yeah. I don't like.
I mean, for me personally, it's it's. I love to be scared because I think it's difficult to really do.
Okay.
Like, I like scaring other people. I like the whole. I like Halloween. I like the whole genre thing. I used to work on a haunted hayride. I love that stuff. So when you can scare me or make me uncomfortable, there's a real craft to that, an art to that. So that's why, you know, I don't like, like, just gratuitously gory movies for the sake of gore, unless they're, like, so far over the edge where it's funny. But I love horror suspense. And
to do it
right is amazing. It's horror and before you kick me, hear me out on this.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
I'm about to say something weird.
Oh.
Horror and rom-coms have the same problem as genres. There's a whole lot of them, and most of them suck balls. And to do it right makes them stand out even more.
Yes.
So Halloween, or for rom-com, and Annie Hall is like worth 10 mediocre other genre movies to me.
Like the latest, like, good horror movie that you guys would say had come out recently? Because I honestly, I can't even think of any.
I'm going Insidious.
Insidious, yeah. Okay.
I loved
that
Insidious.
That was my favorite movie.
Old school filmmaking. The whole movie, I saw it with an audience, and that was cool because everyone was freaking out, and I'm realizing as everyone's screaming and, like, holding each other, that the whole movie works on a level of stuff they've scared people with 100 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just lighting, it's just makeup, primal. And smoke.
Right? Yeah, that movie was made for under $1 million.
Wow.
And it grossed over $55 million.
Is that the one with the kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not the house that's haunted. It's just
me. Yeah. Dream horror movies, screw me. Anything with sleep. anything with dreams, maybe because I have like I'm an insomniac and I have sleep paralysis and I walk in my sleep and stuff like that.
That's
sleep
terrifying.
Shit fucks me up. It just does.
What else
it scares
do you do in
me.
Your sleep?
A lot of things.
Mm. Well, you know, like last week we were talking about what cartoon universe would we want to be in and not be in, and I was telling Frank this before we started the show. Yesterday, I don't know why, but I caught like 5 minutes of Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And I felt like that universe, I don't want to be in.
No,
I don't want to be in a universe where I die in my sleep.
Frank, you want to be in that?
Of course I do.
That would be cool.
Why would you want to be fighting for your life? It's good and it's bad. I die in my sleep.
Because I get to fight Freddy.
Ew. There's something like very wrong with you.
Is that weird? I don't want that.
As much as I love them, I wouldn't want to be caught in that.
I would love to fight. Like,
okay,
I kind of would be like my best friend, but then I look at his real life, and Dr. Loomis's life would suck. So I don't want
to. That's true.
Yeah, I don't want it.
We're doing that. Well, we forgot to mention Cabin in the Woods, which was a great horror movie.
Oh, amazing!
Barely horror. The thing is, it's a satire.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like a love letter to.
It's so
Scream. The subject is Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Scream's not satire, though. Scream is homage.
Yeah.
I think it's either satire or a parody. I would say it's a parody.
No.
No, it's not a parody.
I totally disagree.
No,
it's technically classified as a parody, though.
No, but Scary Movie is a parody.
Not by Kevin Williamson, the writer.
Is a parody.
Scream is not a parody.
Scream is not classified by the filmmakers as a parody.
I wouldn't even classify it as a parody. It's not.
It has respect for what it's paying homage to. It's not making fun of it. It's trying to reinvent. It's trying to bring it to a new audience. And Kevin Williamson said if it wasn't for Halloween and listening to the soundtrack while he wrote it, he would never have come up with anything.
Yeah, and it's a love letter to the genre. And totally restarted a whole new trend.
Scary Movie is a parody, but Scream is a love letter.
I'm just enjoying the cockfight that's happening. People whipping there.
It is pretty hot.
Measuring it. There you go.
It's really nice to have strapping men in the studio.
I think if I had to.
Dude, I'm very strapping.
I don't need to strap anything.
I think if I had to live in a universe, I would live in Cabin in the Woods or.
Even though it has a clown.
There are clowns in every universe.
This universe has a clown and I live in it.
I think we should make Stacey live in the universe of It.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I hate
or
you.
Or Pet Cemetery.
Oh, God.
That's a good one. If you had to live in a horror movie, like, think logically about this. Yeah. What would? Because mine would be like some succubus movie. That's the way I'd want to go.
Of course. Jennifer's Body.
Jennifer.
Silence of the Lambs, because that's what the real world is like.
You like putting lotion on your skin?
It happens.
Oh, she a great big fat person.
Like any genre, like it could be horror, suspense, thriller, anything, like any kind of horror movie. See, it's creepy because I think I would live in like the Psycho universe because
you love your mommy.
Because I find
mommy problems.
I find Anthony Perkins.
Ashton.
I find Norman Bates a little sexy, creepy but sexy.
That's not unusual.
They're
sexy.
So I'm like, I would live in that universe. Sure, I would avoid him. Like saw him walking down the street, turn the corner.
But would you? Because you just said he was sexy.
Yeah, that's the reason.
So I think you're in that world.
So maybe you want to be his partner.
She has Stockholm syndrome.
Why don't you say, hey, let's meet up and let's kill
someone? I could be the mother.
Ooh.
I would say, hey, take a night off. I'll play mommy.
You know, when I thought I wanted to live in the Hellraiser universe.
Why are you guys surprised by this? My question.
That was terrifying.
This
would actually work because according to Psycho, the beginning, there is a whole incestuous weird thing going on with
him. Of course.
Yeah. Like I'm super excited for their show that's going to be all about it.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Oh yeah, Vera from me.
Oh, I cannot wait.
I can watch her read her phone book.
I live in the universe of Evil Dead 2.
Ooh.
I just want to sing and dance and get blood all over the place. It'd just be fun.
That would be cool.
That would be the best musical ever.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
So shall we talk about the subject matter that you wanted to with Halloween?
Yes.
Since you made me watch it.
He's like,
no, I've decided we're not going to talk
about this.
We get sidetracked a lot.
Yeah, we do. That happens.
It happens. All right. So actually, since you haven't seen it, I think you're...
So I watched... Halloween 1, and I watched Halloween 2.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. I'm bracing myself.
I will say this. I
thought he was going to be quiet.
I enjoyed Halloween 1, and fuck you.
He's never quiet.
I am never quiet. I have an opinion on everything.
Those two said they're going to be quiet, but they're never quiet.
Lies.
So,
lies.
I enjoyed Halloween 1. I thought it did tension well. I liked the handheld feeling of the camera. It was good. I enjoyed it. There were some campy moments. I can see why it is a classic. I have a couple issues in general with it, but I was okay with it. Even as a horror, it wasn't that bloody, it wasn't that gory, but it was still, it was scary. Some of the moments with the far away shots where you just see Mike Myers like walking around the house, whoa.
Yeah.
That's like, that sent shivers up my back.
What are the issues
so far
that you have?
So far you live. Yeah. So far you live.
But what are the issues?
I do not like the premise, the feel of it. I don't like how many like plot holes there are, where it feels like things are missing to me. While
come on, give it to me.
Yeah,
I can defend.
Really
I can defend that.
This is why I brought you.
I can
on the
defend
show.
That. I can defend.
It's like, all these little fuckers on the internet.
Now let me continue. With that said, I went on, saw number 2, hated it. I thought it was horrible. I thought it was terrible.
Well, wait. Before we talk about 2, I want to hear what you have to say about 1. Because apparently you like, I got issues.
I enjoyed the tension. I enjoyed the feel of it. Yeah. I just didn't feel that the story was engaging.
It's very straightforward.
It's very straightforward, which I enjoyed the simplicity, and I like that it just drops you into the scene. But it didn't get me interested in the story. It was more about, oh, look what's happening now.
But you can't even appreciate like that something like that had never really been done before.
Oh, no. I'm saying that I loved it. I thought it was a great movie, but
in fairness to you, actually, I will say you are seeing it where it's so built up as a classic.
Which,
you're going
into
it.
I went into it not. I went into it with a fresh mind, and I went into it not trying to hate it because of the hype.
Right. Right.
And I, like I said, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fine movie. Oh God, some of the deaths are just absurd. The first girl that gets choked in the car and her eyes like cross and she like presses against the window. Oh, I was like, no, shut the fuck up. Just no. I was happy she died.
That's how people really die in real life.
No, it's not.
Maybe they do. I'm sure someone
She's like,
has
I know,
crossed
I
their
choked
eyes.
Someone to death before.
I have never crossed my eyes when I was dying.
Okay. So.
I enjoyed the fashion. I thought it was wonderful and I loved the coat that his mother had when he was little. I thought it was cute and I like the style of it.
The coat?
Yes.
The Mrs. Myers hat? Is that what we're talking about?
Also,
it has like 30 seconds of screen time, if that. And that's the thing he took away from
As I was watching the movie, I kind of started realizing there's of course something really wrong with Michael Myers, and I think it might be gay panic. I think he might be gay,
oh,
and I don't
my
think
God.
He can accept
not everybody in the history of the
gay
world
panic.
Is gay.
Totally putting your own words into the filmmakers.
There's always a gay undertone in everything.
That's Nightmare on Elm Street 2. You're in the wrong.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give it.
Now with that.
Hey, what's happening?
John
here?
Carpenter's turning his career made graver.
I also really enjoyed that knitting needles were used to fight him off at
of
some point. That
could.
Was
of course.
That I like to knit. Just putting that out there.
Gay.
Yes, very gay. So. I didn't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was.
I guess that's the most we're getting out of him. He didn't hate it.
I did not like the second one at all. I thought it was.
Now why?
Come on. It's like the first movie. It's like an extended version of the first movie.
Because they did a very good job for a different filmmaker recreating the vibe.
Carpenter wrote it.
It's literally part 2.
I like the feel of it and the story was kind of fun. Some of the shots just bothered me, and like I didn't like that you could see his eyes through his mask parts of it.
You could see that some shots in the first one though too.
I didn't notice it nearly as much. Also, some of the deaths in the second one were so absurd to me, so fucking absurd. I was
in
like,
fairness,
really?
They had to up the. They were forced to up. A
and
little
that
bit
kind
of, the
gore of bothered me that they were forced to up the gore. Come on, I enjoyed the tension that was built in the first one, and I would have loved if they had kept that.
You don't think it still had tension, even with a little bit of gratuitous blood?
It had its tension and it had its moments, but in all, I didn't like it. I felt that it climaxed too early.
I hate when that happens.
Okay, I don't want to hear that sentence.
I enjoyed the twist, of course. That was I enjoyed it, and it started making things make more sense to the first one, but I didn't care for the second one.
Okay, that's fair.
You should have seen H2O then, because H2O really round.
Well,
1, 2, and H2O are connected.
I think they're perfect. I think 4 through 6 I enjoy
four's
them
good.
As like
four I like only four. It's the best of the Loomis.
Yeah.
Loomis has the most to do in that. And he's great in that. But as you're right, as a movie, one, two, and H2O.
And
four has the best ending ever.
Four has the best ending. Exactly.
That was that. Yeah. Come on. 10 years later, it would be hard to like
Cisco,
come up with a good ending.
So like four takes place a few years after.
Ten.
10 years after. I haven't seen it in forever. It centers around Jamie Lloyd, the daughter of Lori, who she's left behind. Basically, Mike is after her, blah, blah, blah.
Lori died in a car accident.
Okay. Yeah. Well, she faked her death. But what happens is at the very end, everyone is like, everyone's okay. Mike's dead. And then Jamie puts on a clown mask, just like Mike did, goes upstairs. While her mom is taking a shower, stabs her with a pair of scissors, and then stands at the top of the stairs as Loomis is looking up at her, and she's just like,
and Loomis
breathing
is going,
heavily.
No!
You're like, no,
best ending ever.
Okay, I will admit,
and then it's playing the Halloween theme.
My interest is peaked in some of the tension scenes that they do. They do very well. They set up interesting shots and very interesting scenes. In general, just the violence, just like it.
But it had the last Starfighter in it.
Yeah. I like violence. Nice. So violence is fine.
I enjoy a good violence.
I'm probably one of the few people that liked Halloween 6. I dug it, man. Like it's
the curse.
Really dark. Yeah.
It's got Paul Rudd with Paul
Rudd. You and like five other people in the world.
I'll watch it. Yeah, I've seen
For those who are into the Halloween movies really want to like really delve into it, there's an interesting version that you can find online called the producer's cut of Halloween.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I have it actually.
And it's much better.
I'll burn it for you.
It's much better than the.
They basically finished filming and Dimension wasn't happy with it, and they said, well, they brought in another director, another writer. And they reshot maybe about 40% of the movie.
Huh.
Yeah.
So you got a completely different ending and stuff. Like, there's two trailers. The original title was Halloween 6, The Origin of Michael Myers. And then when it was reshot and recut, it was The Curse of Michael Myers.
I did find an interesting connection, actually. The town that it takes place in, Haddonfield, is actually named after my family. The Haddons are my mother's, her mother's maiden name. And that's the landing of they based our home there when they first came here.
Wait, in New Jersey?
It's in Illinois. No.
No.
Haddonfield,
New Jersey.
There we go. Yeah.
I was going to say Haddonfield's Illinois doesn't really.
No, yeah, but they based it off of that. Yeah.
Deborah Hill was from Haddonfield, New Jersey.
Yeah. More proof that you're the Antichrist.
I am. Yeah, I mean, there are all these weird connections that
were you born on June 6th?
No, but my hair naturally goes into devil horns.
It does. It's true.
It's creepy.
Okay, so speaking of violence, I'm sure this conversation is going to get very violent, especially with Sean.
What are we talking about, Halloween?
We're going to talk about the remakes.
Well, we barely touched on the original.
Do you want to continue to do that?
Well, I'm just saying, before we get to that crap, let's get to
this. This is exactly why I wanted to get to this point.
No, it's okay. It's your podcast. You go wherever you want.
Yeah, considering that you
actually like the remake.
We can also discuss it.
What? Get out. I'm just kidding.
Here's the thing.
No, I have
complex opinions about it.
I have problems with it, but we'll talk about that when we get to that.
I feel like that I'm in love with Nightmare on Elm Street, and that's the one that scares me. And so when Halloween came out, the remake, we had this conversation, and you were like, "It's the abomination," and blah blah blah.
I didn't see it for a year.
You were so upset about it.
Yeah.
And then we got in this heated debate about it. And then as soon as the Nightmare on Elm Street trailer came out, I walked up to him and I said, I'm so sorry. I get what you're saying now. Like, I cried. Like, I literally cried when I saw the trailer. Now, as much as I understand, I'm also a Rob Zombie fan.
Oh, I like Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
And
I like Rob Zombie. It's just,
and I found it interesting, his take
on
it.
But why not? You know, I like Rob Zombie. He's got his own style. So, like, why not do a movie that's a, you know, that he does his own origin story, a serial killer, something.
But
he made a Rob Zombie movie and just tacked on the names from the Halloween series to me. You know what I mean?
It was kind of neat to see everything updated. I didn't like the first chunk of Halloween where, you know, his family's all redneck and shit. And then,
you mean like half the movie?
No. This is just the beginning, man. That's like the first 20 minutes.
It felt
when he gets
like
into the asylum,
40.
It's a little interesting. I didn't like a lot of the stuff Loomis did. But then once he gets out, gets his mask on, he's back home. It was kind of cool to see everything kind of
modernized. I have very specific opinions about this movie. Don't remake it because it's a classic. Like, I can get more in depth than that.
Please do, because I'll get in depth about Nightmare on Elm Street.
There might be some reflections from Halloween that you agree with Nightmare on Elm Street. First of all, you're taking a suspense film and you are making it a slasher film, because Halloween is not a slasher film.
It's
suspense,
yeah.
So right there, I have a problem with that. You're kind of missing the point. Also, they take all of Michael's power away. In the original one, the ambiguity and the fact that he is an average-sized person and he's just like the shape, as they describe him in the script, it gives that all that more like, is there something supernatural going on? They never quite like touch on it.
A little anorexic to me.
And it was actually, by the way, it was actually Nick Castle, who turned out to be a director of other films and stuff.
Major Payne.
That's Major Payne. And when you give him the layout of every other serial killer, his mom was a slut, his sister was, they're rednecks, his dad was abusive. You know, it's like you are making him like every other serial killer, so why not just make a serial killer movie? And also, when you make him a giant wrestler, It you know what I mean? It's just obvious. It doesn't have that average guy in the original Halloweens is like lifting somebody off the floor with one hand, and you're like, what the hell?
And I get that, but when I saw it as a kid, looking at this kid doing stuff like that, like, I always want to know why.
But okay, here's the thing. So Halloween is supposed to leave you with a...
With a why.
Wanting more. And when you dissect and you take away the mystery, it takes away, I think, a lot of this creepiness and power.
Here's my opinion on the original Halloween and why I understand that she, the need to know why someone does something.
Right.
That's just me.
And I understand that, sure, maybe we should, like... He's a little kid. He's killing. We should feel a little upset, disturbed. We should
We're supposed to be uneasy.
He's a feeling. By the way, it's the whole
crux of Loomis is that he can't figure it out. In those movies, you can figure it out.
Here's my thing, though. My opinion has always been that Halloween opens with two deaths: Judith Myers and Michael Myers. Mm-hmm. Michael Myers, the boy, dies on Halloween 1963.
But why? This is what I'm saying.
Well, that's mystery.
That's the best part.
That's
gay
scary panic about it. You know, but I do want to say one thing that I usually talk to other people about. We can't help the fact that it got remade. It was going to happen sooner or later.
And it will get remade again.
I will say this, and hopefully I get everyone to agree with this. What Rob Zombie did, although a lot of people don't agree, what he did was way better than what would have happened if Michael Bay got his hands on it.
If Michael Bay got his hands
on the remake, because he was trying to.
He was.
It would have been explosions.
So you
explosions
have to
everywhere.
Admit.
Well, it would have been like the other ones. He did Nightmare on Elm Street, right? Mm-hmm. Produced that and produced
Friday.
Texas Chainsaw.
I want to talk about Nightmare on Elm Street real quick. Just real quick. Because I know we're going to bring that
touch
up.
Touch it. Just touch it.
Touch it.
Okay.
Just grope it.
Ooh.
Just the tip.
Wow. Thank you, Elmer.
I'm opening my mouth for some reason. I wasn't a horror movie fan for a very long time, because when I was five, my uncle showed me the original Nightmare on Elm Street. First horror film I ever saw, and I was terrified. I would only take showers. I would not take a bath because I was afraid of being drowned in my bathtub. I would not sleep with covers because I was afraid I was going to get strangled by my sheets.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah, I was just really terrified as a kid, and then, which is another reason probably why I'm a horror filmmaker, is because I'm very timid. I'm actually really easy to scare, but I channel it so well that I know how to reflect it in a film.
And also,
because it happens to you,
to have a sense of control.
Yeah.
I get that.
But so that movie has a very near and dear spot in my life and in my heart.
Traumatic.
Because it's traumatic, but it also opened the door to like horror films. That was the first horror film I ever saw.
Right.
And, so when I found out they were going to remake it, of course I was pissed, especially when Michael Bay's name was attached to it. I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm going to fucking pay for that. My friend got tickets to the premiere at the Chinese Theater.
Oh, well.
And I was like, yes, I want to go, because if I see Michael Bay, I'm going to tell him, fuck.
I sold porn to him.
You're a piece of shit. You know? I was ready to tell him. And
he doesn't hear that, by the way.
As the movie starts, and goes on and fails and fails and goes lower and lower. You know who worked on the movie because I'm sitting in the back of the theater and you see people start to slump in their seats.
That's like, when you know it's horrible.
What did we do?
Well, that's rough.
Here's my thinking. Not everything needs an origin story.
Exactly.
Not everything needs to be explained.
It's already explained in Freddy.
It's already explained in Nightmare on Elm Street. You already know what the deal is, why this is going on. It doesn't need to be explained any further.
Well, no, they didn't explain it any further. They explained it just as much, except for differently.
Yeah.
And here's the problem I have.
I don't need to feel bad for him. He's a pedophile.
Although, I don't need to feel bad for him. Yeah. He's a douche.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but if you're someone's faced with the problem of remaking something like that. And so I did at least admire they tried to do a little bit of a twist where you're like, whoa, wait, am I supposed to re-examine? And then you're like, oh, no.
We have Candyman to feel sorry for. We don't want to feel sorry for Freddy Krueger. Like, I don't. Like, he's a pedophile. We know he's a pedophile. And the other thing that they took away from him is Robert Englund is such a douche. And he loves that he's a douche and he puts that quirky humor while he's killing you.
Yeah.
It's like even more scary because he doesn't give
takes
a
such
fuck.
Delight.
Yeah.
Well, also, he's so excited about killing
his,
you.
His physical presence is bigger and more menacing than Jackie Earl Haley.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
he
has this like Meek Mouse going on. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever touched a boy before or a girl before. I'm just going to kill you maybe.
I just like how he was Rorschach as well as
Rorschach. He rocked. Like, don't touch Freddy.
He's a good actor. He rocks, but he's a very slight fellow, so I don't feel very scared by him.
You could feel scared by a slight figure, but the way they made him sympathetic.
Yeah, I think a leprechaun.
Took it away.
I ultimately thought that movie failed, but I did like a few things about it. Number one, the ending was classic Elm Street. It was good.
But it was CGI killed it.
Of course, but I mean, like, it was still like the feel of it.
Yeah,
and number two, the idea of micro naps was really well done.
Cool. That was cool.
I thought that added a lot of nice tension. And
now
it was just cool.
Now
to see.
here's my thing. You know, getting back to like the remake sort of betraying the whole genre that it is. I'm not defending the Nightmare on Elm Street remake.
Good,
however, I will say it was at least of the same violent ilk of the original. Whereas, just like the Halloween remake, Texas Chainsaw is one of my favorite movies of all time. And for a very specific reason, you mention that name, and people, their first reaction is, "Oh, it's like one of the goriest horror movies ever made," and it's not at all. It's so brilliantly done. And so, what did they do when they remade it? They actually showed you everything.
Yeah, of course.
The scariest, what makes Texas Chainsaw Massacre real horror film is the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Oh.
When it's a descent into hell, because it's not the characters running around killing and doing something stupid. They're just being a family, and they're fucking insane.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you're watching that. You're with her watching what she's seeing. It's like, oh, my God.
And that's they really got that documentary feel, mm-hmm. that gritty feel. And
it feels like you're there. And then, I always get lost.
And then on top of it, to do, like, in real life, the filming, that's one where, like, what happened to them in real life filming it was reflected, like, the misery.
Mm-hmm. Because the Wasn't it like a 72-hour day or something?
There was a 24-hour shoot dinner table scene. And the guy, I can't remember the character's name, though, the guy who cuts himself, the head cheese guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, with the mark on his cheek. Anyway, he said, I used to have this interview with him. It was amazing. This like old TV show that was like talking about, it was like a horror, one of the first horror awards. It was in the late 80s or early 90s. Anyway, and he had a great interview in there. And he said, I was in two tours of Vietnam in the mud, crawling around with people everywhere in the jungle trying to kill me. And that was more pleasurable than the 24-hour shoot on Texas
Chainsaw.
Wow. He actually slit her finger, too, that part where, mm-hmm. like, he cuts the finger.
Yeah.
I met Marilyn Burns, who played the
woman. Oh, sweet.
She's really sweet. And, I was like, is it true that, you know, when you're being chased outside, when you get slashed, some of that blood was real? She's like, yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, no one wore a sweater better than her.
Yeah. I heard
that was
a
dead heat in a Zeppelin race.
An interview with the guy who played Leatherface.
Gunnar Hansen.
Said, yeah, who said that it was going on for so long and he was so into his character that by the end of it, he was actually thinking in his head, yeah, we're going to kill this bitch. We're just going to kill
her. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, he was just thought he was fucking Leatherface. Yeah.
And he never washed his shirt the entire shoot, so he's like all sweaty smelled.
By the way, not Texas Chainsaw, but we're totally giving away a good plot idea, which is you're making a film, and then they're just like, they're still out there making this film, but they're really doing it.
That's true.
Nobody's done that yet.
It's great. You're welcome, world.
But I did enjoy the Texas Chainsaw remake a little bit.
Because your girl crush.
Well, you know,
because my girl crush is in it, okay? I would turn lesbian for her in a second, okay? Ooh. I do. Jessica Biel.
Oh, okay? I think you're talking about the running, ginger. I'm like, a ginger's
running
hot.
Through the forest. I was like, am I straight now? I don't know. Maybe I'm not anymore.
Here's the thing, too. what I noticed about, for me, these remakes that I didn't like, the second ones, because they weren't such direct remakes, I gave a lot of slack and liked better. Like, I liked Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 so much more because it's its own story.
Okay,
it's its own movie.
That's why I like it too. Actually.
And then same with the origin stuff for Leatherface. It's kind of its own thing. So
I
don't mind
that birth scene. Come on now.
Oh God, that's disgusting.
Oh, by the way, you were talking about like you could only like where do you have Candyman to feel sorry for? There's one more person we could feel sorry for.
Okay, who?
Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
I do feel bad for him.
I got another one that is really going to reach out there, but it's the first horror movie that I saw in the theater. I was way too young. My dad got in big trouble for taking me. I was like 6 or 7. It's the first character that I had nightmares over and over about, but you technically could feel sorry for him. Captain Blake in The Fog, John Carpenter.
Oh,
he's a leper. And he has a ship full, and they're going to start a leper colony, and the townspeople get together and light a fake fire in the fog and make them crash on the rocks and steal their gold. They killed all of them because they didn't want a leper colony.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
So even though he's scary as shit,
Well, like Candyman, you feel sorry for him, but he's an annoying like asshole because like even though you feel sorry for him for being viciously murdered, he still goes around and kills innocent people
that
for no
nothing
fucking
to do,
nothing
right.
to do with it. Like he did not like go after like everybody.
He said his name 3 times already.
He never like
same thing with the fog. It's a great revenge story, but he's taking it's the 6 conspirators from the original townspeople. He's just taking 6 townspeople now because they might be related in some way.
But Candyman is even worse. Like he's just like, oh, you said my name, I'm gonna kill you now. Right. Thank you.
But I do that all the time. It's not bad.
I know you do, and it's like a thing. Whatever.
So someone asked me recently. They're like, what do you think is like the scariest horror movie character icon or whatever to come out in the last 20 years? And I had 2 answers. I said, I think there's one for the general audience, and there's one for me personally.
Oh, that's good. What is it?
For the general audiences. In the last 20 years, no character's had more effect than Tamara from The Ring.
Oh, yeah.
That got people.
Yeah.
Like, nothing else has stood out as much. Maybe second might be The Strangers, maybe. But
oh, The
I'm
Strangers.
Just saying, like, the you know, the masks and everything. For me, personally, in the last 20 years, the character that scared the fuck out of me was John Doe from 7.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, because yeah. Nothing scares me more than a regular person that's out of their mind.
Is super scary. And the thing about The Strangers that didn't get... It wasn't scary because the mask. To me, the scariest thing was that, like, always in horror movies, it's like, you've gotten to daylight. We're okay.
Oh, yeah.
And that is when the shit happened. You thought, like, okay, they're in safety, and they just... fucking let loose.
A beautiful morning in the countryside.
Everybody's going on with their life and they just walk out like, great.
Done with that.
If The Strangers really scared you, there's something scarier that actually The Strangers is loosely based on.
I know what you're going to say.
French horror film, Them.
Awesome.
Oh, I've seen Them. Awesome. It's amazing.
And I wish it was named something else because people confuse it with the giant ant movie from the 50s.
Have you seen Them? Oh, I've seen Them. It's a fun movie. But
Them is so good.
Sometimes murder is fun. What?
There's so many good French films.
Can I throw out a recommendation that I've been telling everybody about? Them was one of them that I found on Netflix. Another one on Netflix that I was just browsing around, never heard of it. Irish film called The Eclipse. Now, there's Eclipse, and then there's The Eclipse. It's an Irish film, And it is amazingly done. It's this Irish playwright. It's his first film that he directed and wrote. And there's actors in there that you recognize. Aidan Quinn's one of the American actors you recognize. But the other actors that are Irish and English, you recognize. This movie, I haven't seen a movie in a long time. And again, it's hard to scare me, where it just constantly kept me, I couldn't find my footing. And when it would scare you rarely, I was off the couch. I got air. Oh. Like three or four times in this movie, because it would make you laugh, and it would give you an actual lump in your throat, and then the next thing you know, it's scaring the shit out of you.
Oh, wow.
So I highly recommend like that.
Have you guys seen Frontier? It's another French movie.
Yeah.
Well, the girl does everything you want her to do.
Oh, man.
She is a survivor. Like, she takes never flipping pisses you off at all. She does what you're like, what it takes to survive, and I love that. Oh, yes. Okay, so we're getting to the portion of our show where we have our guests.
Wait. One more name drop. High Tension. Go watch it.
Oh, High Tension.
Oh, and I watched.
I was good to last.
I unfortunately watched the American version of Let Me In yesterday. Romantic, not scary. The Swedish version scared the crap out of me a little bit more. Just saying.
Well, yeah, and it actually had the big twist that was important to, I don't know, the novel.
Just saying.
Okay, so we'll have Mondo pick first. Okay.
Oh, we're playing Mary Fuck Kill.
All right, and they get three names.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's see who you got.
Okay.
And I have to marry one of these, fuck one of these, mm-hmm. and kill one of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Indeed, you do.
Wow. Okay, marry. If I were to marry one of these, I'd marry Chewbacca.
Name them all off.
Who'd you get?
I got. Oh, yeah. I got Chewbacca.
Ooh.
Zankiff.
I would not mind that.
And Nightcrawler.
Oh,
wait, we had Nightcrawler again. Last
year. So Nightcrawler is I had to marry one of these, I'd marry Chewbacca because it's essentially like fucking a furry.
You're into hair.
He's a furry.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I'm not
you're
into furries. So I'll take a shot.
I think he'd make you feel comfortable afterwards.
Yeah. He looks like a good father.
I'm like, can you
talk? Like fucking a teddy bear.
But here's the problem with that. If you marry him, it's like the Star Wars Christmas album says, what do you get a Wookiee for Christmas if he already has a comb?
Are you going to live on Earth or are you going to live on Kashyyyk?
I don't want to. I just
pulled out a reference
everywhere.
That was too obscure for this.
Always having to clean up Chevy. It's hair everywhere, people.
I'm just going
to
say
it. We'll move to the Death Star, what's left of it. Okay, so I'd marry Chewbacca. I'd fuck Nightcrawler. Because it'd be kind of fun to teleport while
that's
fucking.
That's what I say, people. You know?
See, what I said last week was that having sex with him would be like having how eagles have sex when they go really high and then they just drop really, really fast.
See,
and like
in that case, I'd rather fuck Rogue. Apart from,
but
never mind that.
That is not at all.
You know, but I'd fuck Nightcrawler because I'd want to teleport while fucking because I think it'd be interesting.
It'd be fun.
And I'd like to kill Zangief because, you know, it just, it's real cool. That guy that's much bigger and buffer than I am, I'm just kicking the shit out of him and, like, strangling him to death.
Very good point.
It'd be very empowering.
Awesome. Okay. Now we'll get to Sean.
Okay. I have Aquaman or Orin.
I'm sorry.
I have Jean Grey / Marvel Girl / Phoenix.
Oh.
I know, I got lucky on that one. And I have Dariel Book from Firefly.
Oh.
So now I have a very serious question. Is this a fuckless marriage? Can I fuck who I marry?
It gets tawdry after a couple of years. So it's
more of like the emotional thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously I'm going, yeah. Okay. So I know this now. I'm going to kill Aquaman because
he's Aquaman.
Great choice.
What is it? How's he going to help anyone? He's going to talk to the fish.
He's super strong, but who gives a shit?
Yeah. Like I almost said marry because I'd like to live under the sea, but at the same time, like that guy's a douche. Sorry, Jim Burkhart, if you're listening, it's his favorite superhero because he just likes to go against the grain. And I'm going to do to Jean Grey.
Yeah.
And then Dariel Book I'd marry because he's like a shaman. He's like, he'd be such a positive, calming influence in your life.
He's a good marriage.
He'd make me feel
good.
Like if you could hang out with Dariel Book and Chewbacca, you would feel like all cozy and nice about it.
I got him and
you
I
leave
killed
like
him.
Chewie alone, man.
You killed him?
You are horrible.
Well, it only depends on who else your choices were, but why would you kill Dariel?
I married the Terminator.
I, I think I'm. I don't remember.
Yeah, but that's.
Who, I don't. No, I don't. Know.
It's a different story.
You missed part of it. But I do remember I killed him because I just like I wanted to fuck the other one and marry the other one. So yeah. It was just the way it went.
If it was, but I will tell you that I'm too analytical because if I only could fuck Jean Grey once. Then I'd marry her. If I could fuck her over and over, then I'd just fuck her.
It might be a complicated
I wouldn't fuck marriage. Jean Grey. I'd engage in coitus with Jean Grey.
Coitus.
Oh.
Oh, so gentlemanly of you.
Can we play a game, make love, propose? No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's
sweet,
too polite.
Sweet love.
Sex with her would be super intense because she'd totally get into your head. Literally.
That's what I'm saying about Professor X mind-fucking you. Come on.
Wait, guys. She does not have a superpower. That's just a woman. Mind-fucking you.
Touche. Should we get to our question?
She could mind. She could fuck you from like 1,000 miles away.
True. Ooh.
It's true. Perfect.
Oh,
that's but like, when she becomes like Phoenix, it's long
yeah, yeah, once she becomes Phoenix, she becomes a Dom.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sexy, too. I mean, not that I like to be dominated.
See, that would be like the perfect long-distance relationship.
That would work. You thought
you're
about cheating?
In Xavier's mansion. I'm in LA.
Works out.
Let's fuck.
Works out nicely.
All right. Minds. We have questions to ask for you. And for those of you listening who think that you know what questions we're talking
about. They're different.
They're different. No. Okay. We are changing them up every month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a first-time listener, so I don't know.
Me too. I actually was told that if I want to be surprised, don't listen, so I didn't.
I know, but we changed
it. Yeah, we changed it. So.
Oh, good.
It's a double surprise.
Well, first time.
Oh, good. Hooray. So I didn't have to listen and I get new questions.
Ladies first, Frank.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, there has to be a lady in this
room. Continue, Francis.
All right, so I will start by asking Mondo this question. Right, don't think about it. Just answer.
I don't like
just
the answer. Look. I don't like.
Are we? Are we all answering these new batches of questions again, or just the guests?
No, just the guests.
They lock the doors.
All right,
I'm stuck in here.
Sex with Aquaman or death by firing squad? Choose.
Death by firing squad.
Wow!
What about you, Sean?
Poor Aquaman. No, now I give him some man love. Now, okay, because I would want to live.
Oh, so you're gonna give it to him? You're not gonna take it from him?
Oh,
I am not taking anything. I'm giving.
Yeah, to be the top.
Fish smell would never leave you.
No, it would be. It would permeate.
He's
every
straight.
Core.
It never leaves him
again,
anyway.
I'm straight, so I know exactly.
Oh, you guys are so sorry. Just so you know, I slapped Frank, and I can't read Sean, but I'm mentally slapping you for that.
He's Jean Grey.
It works out.
It's just that. Okay, so my question is, if you had to be killed by any horror movie villain, who would it be and why?
You want to take this one?
Michael Myers, because he is the king.
Okay, so you would consider it an honor, basically?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to like have dinner with and like kind of want to hang out with, which is why it's so creepy is Hannibal Lecter. But here's
It'd
the problem.
He's
gonna cook you for you.
But here's the problem: if he kills you, it means he doesn't respect you. He thinks you're like a
sycophant.
Yeah, he thinks you're like a disrespectful person. So I would consider it a dishonor to be killed by Hannibal Lecter, but an honor to be killed by Michael Myers because he's badass.
I want to die in my sleep, so Freddy Krueger. Hopefully he's gentle.
Get sucked into a bed.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Freddy is known for his gentle killing.
I know, right? He's so kind. But you would get a funny joke at the end of it.
That's true.
It's worth it. For now.
So my awkward question is, are you registered to vote?
Oh, that is an awkward question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, I am, absolutely.
Good. And you, Mondo?
I don't want to talk about that. No, I'm kidding.
What?
Whoa, I am registered.
If you are not part of the system, you do not get to complain about the system.
Right. You are right.
No.
I didn't hear him complain, though.
You are absolutely right.
I didn't complain once. I'm not the one with views. All right.
Rachel?
Oh, my question? Mm-hmm. It's comparatively tame, I guess. 80s Anthony Michael Hall or present day Anthony Michael Hall?
Oh, Farmer Ted all the way, and Rusty Farmer Ted.
But you don't like him as like in Dead Zone or something?
That's not even like modern day.
Dead Zone, yeah, but and modern day, I still like him a lot because thank God he came back from that awkward bodybuilder phase where he was just terrible.
He's back in it. I just saw a recent picture.
Oh no, he is.
I just saw a recent picture of him. He's all neck and no shoulders.
But like honestly, I do not remember a person his age, an actor his age, that when he was in the 80s that had such brilliant comic timing. He was unbelievably advanced for his years. And I just missed that we kind of got robbed of that when he started beef up and get all serious and stuff.
I'm on the fence because Brian is a hero from, you know, Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then again, he was also in The Dark Knight, and I'm a Batman fan.
That's true. So, I know he does really get a lot of street cred.
Yeah, he does a lot of street cred for being in Batman. Yeah, I'll go with modern just because I want to be different.
But I do like him.
Yeah, no, he's great.
I like him too. That's fan. Hence the question.
Hence the question.
Who is that? Who were we talking about a second?
Anthony Hall.
He was in the Breakfast Club.
I made the Jesse Freck.
He's talking shit. Never mind.
I know exactly.
So are you guys going to go see the, since we're talking about Halloween, it's being re-released
in
a couple weeks.
October 27th?
25th through the 31st.
Well, we're probably all going to go together.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Since we're talking about that, I'm going to shameless.
No, please.
Shameless plug. We're about to end. I did, for the 35th anniversary, HalloweenMovies.com did a fan film contest for Halloween on the YouTube site. Entries already closed, but I got some friends together, and we did make a Halloween fan film.
Oh, sweet. I got to see
for
this.
For fun. I have it with me, so you guys will be the first to see it.
Awesome, man. I love that site. That's
yeah, it's
going
to, they're going to be, I don't know when they're putting them up, but they're putting them up soon. My biggest thing was I didn't want it, like, all the masks out there are shitty. I'm like, if we can't get a good mask, I don't want to do
that
it.
You're a man after my own heart.
After the 100th anniversary of Universal, they re-released, Scream Factory re-released Halloween 2 on Blu-ray. Universal teamed up with them and released a Halloween 2 replica mask.
What?
Now available for purchase, which we bought.
A Dick Warlock mask.
We have in our film, and you can buy it online, too. It's like 60, 70 bucks.
That's amazing.
That's so worth it.
I learned so much good stuff from you. I'm glad I was here just for that.
Awesome. Just for that.
So but, be sure to check that out. And Evil Pandas.
Yeah, you can check out my stuff on YouTube, youtube.com/EvilPandaFilms. And then I'm on Twitter, twitter.com/MondoBizarro. And I have the links on there as well.
Cool.
Anything you want to plug?
Oh, God, I didn't think about this. I want to plug. I don't tweet. So
talk about your Disney show.
Actually, yes. If you have, I'm an actor. My day job is I'm a stand-in on a Disney sitcom. Because you can tell by my likes and dislikes on this show that I'm really a Disney guy. Disney sitcom called Austin and Ally. So if you have, you know, kids, nephews, whatever, you know, have them watch.
Sit them down, make them watch it.
The people on the show are actually lovely, lovly.
It's a cute
show.
If you're in your 20s and you're Rachel, also watch it.
No shame about it.
And then also, this is like old, but what the hell? It's something to plug.
Plug it.
I did, for this universe, it would be a good plug because, you know, Allison Hayslip is sort of a nerd goddess.
Ooh, I love her.
Allison's a good friend of mine, and she, her and I did a couple of years ago a web series called Trading Eights. Just go to TradingEights.com. Unfortunately, we only did half of the actual storyline of the series.
Wow.
It was actually for a good reason. Like, it started out where Allison, you know, agreed to do it. She was good friends of ours, me and the writer.
Super famous on you.
And she was already, you know, she was already like pretty in the pop culture scene, like pretty known, and on G4 and stuff. But right in the middle of this series that we were doing, she did get so busy and so popular, and like her career's taken off. It's amazing. But it was a blessing in the beginning because we had like a built-in online audience, and then it sort of died because she had to go away and we didn't want to replace her. Well, we refused to replace her because she's awesome. So
understandable. Well,
all right, well, it is the end of the episode, but wait, this is a two-parter.
It is a two-parter. Come back next week where I believe Sean will be coming back.
It's time, Michael.
And if you're available to, we would love to have you guys back on for part two, where we'll be discussing would you survive a horror movie and such things as that.
Yes. Oh, totally.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr, and we're on Pinterest now. What?
Yes.
We're going to be pinning some crazy shit, man.
And I think we have an Instagram too.
Oh, we randomly do have an Instagram. Follow that shit as well.
All right. Well, this is Awkward Conversations.
Thanks for keeping it off.
And here's a plug. Happy birthday, Frank!
Happy birthday, Frank! Hey, real quick, how much does a hipster weigh? An Instagram.
Oh!
All right. See you guys.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Have you seen that TV show on Chill?